Greetings and welcome to Hindsight is 3030. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Jason. Joining me this week is Matt.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt. Long day. I'm sorry. It's rainy and wet, and I had to travel in the rain and
traffic. We've been drowning in $50 million worth of $50 million of the political advertising.
Yes.
Okay. And also joining us is special guest once again, Chris.
Chris Mason. He's still like, never eat the bags you got me.
Have you?
There's no copyright there.
Do you know what an amazing blog name that would be?
I have actually said that, yeah. I had that conversation with Carmen.
I'm very tempted to bleep that name out so no one steals it, because that's fantastic. Because yeah. That could speak to like every demographic on the face of the earth.
That just means at this show, you better register that name real quick.
Use our promo code on GoDaddy.
And you can make that website using Squarespace.com.
All right. We're not here to talk about Squarespace or GoDaddy or anything else that doesn't sponsor us. But, you know, if they want to give us money, we'll take it. No, we're here to talk about Cats.
The musical?
No. Wildcats. Anyone know what Cats stands for?
I never knew that.
Covered action teams. 13.
Okay. Wait. C-A-T, and the S is just the S for teams? S?
Okay, covered action teams, sucker. Yes, yeah. The S is just part of... Because Wildcat just sounds like singular, but there's multiple people on the team. And they can split into two teams.
Okay, I was wondering why is it called teams instead of team. I don't know. It's 90s.
It is the most 90 of shows. This is a one-season, 13-episode cartoon from 94 to 95 based on the Wildstorm's production comic. Funnily enough, Wildstorm doesn't exist as an independent entity. It was purchased by DC, and a couple of these characters were reborn in DC Comics New 52.
I did not know that. That's awesome, actually.
They're DC comic characters now?
Now they are.
They seem more like Marvel types.
Well, they seem drawn like Marvel type characters because they were designed by one Jim Lee, who is super famous for drawing the first 20-something issues of the 90s relaunch X-Men comic.
Mm.
Do you remember whenever that was relaunched? And it was like X-Men 1 had four different covers that you could put together to form one big thing. Then a special edition that I think two of those. And then the one special edition that was all four covers together and a whole bunch of extra artwork. That was a great... Great run.
It was a great time.
Was that when they stopped wearing the yellow and green uniforms?
No. That's when they started wearing like the yellow and blue. Yeah. Like they got the kind of color coded.
I meant yellow and blue. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Except for Psylocke, who got to run around in her purple thong.
Well, we're not mad.
No.
No, we ain't mad with that.
Yep. All right. So the Wildcats was a six-hero team consisting of Spartan, who was the main character, who like red and blue, and he could fire plasma blasts from his hands, kind of a generic hero who could also apparently fly, but he didn't do it a lot. Warblade, who kind of looked like Caliban, but Wolverine-y. Maul, who
My
was like...
man, Maul.
He was like Hulk. He got stronger, but he lost intelligence as he gained strength. Grifter, who looked like he had a gambit coat, a face mask, which kind of was like Deadpool, but he used guns like... Punisher and Deadpool, and he had regenerative powers. He's basically like Deadpool. Voodoo, a telepath in a purple costume with martial arts skills. Who does that sound like? Psylocke. And Zealot, a hand-to-hand fighter who is very strong and used swords, she's like a female Shatterstar, if you've seen the X-Force character Shatterstar. Who is famously like the first out bisexual Marvel character.
I'm sorry, when you mentioned about, what was his name, the guy that's the Hulk analog?
Maul.
Yeah. About he gets stronger and stupider. I just thought of him just doing quotes, "The spirit of 1776, Kim Klaus."
Well, in his natural state, though, he's hyper-intelligent, though. So I guess that makes him like...
The incredible Alex Jones is what you're describing?
Basically, yeah.
Use my strength to stop this chemical from turning the frogs gay.
Oh man.
We frequently go on Alex Jones tangents. It's It's pretty bad. Okay, yeah, that's the main characters. I didn't get into the villains because they were less interesting and didn't have immediate analogs for X-Men or Marvel characters. This was super confusing to read about on Wikipedia because, like, the TV show is, like, a watered-down version of the comic. Like, right. Voodoo is a stripper in the comics, apparently.
Right.
At some point, some of them stop being heroes and some of them are. There's a outside, like, alien invasion. It's basically like a war between angels and demons, almost, that they end up being involved in. Somehow they're related to Gen 13, if y'all remember that comic series, which
You know what, though? That whole thing, like, escaped me. Just because, like you said, it was a one-season thing. But I just remember it falling off television. So I didn't even realize at the time that there were comic books. So definitely didn't realize the depth of the characters or the storylines here.
It goes in, like, it's, it, I mean, the only thing I remember about Gen 13 was the redhead and the little green singlet. I was like, oh, she's so hot, during my brief redhead phase before I learned they had no souls.
Hey, man, you don't need souls with red hair.
Yeah. By the way, is it just me or this is one of those shows that was trying to cash in on the X-Men's popularity? Absolutely.
Oh, it definitely was, because X-Men was, what, 92, 93 when it dropped? Yeah, it's so it's, time, they time. Were what comic, what can we get cheaply, and Wildcats was it. Because there had been DC shows before, but it's like corny Super Friends type stuff. Until we got Batman, which is, of course, the number one.
Quintessential.
And Spider-Man was pretty good.
It started off a little rough, it had some good seasons. That's the thing, it's like you have Batman the Animated Series way up here and everything else is several tiers down.
Superman was decent-ish.
I gotta disagree with you. Batman carried DC.
Well, Batman always carries DC. Batman carries Speaking DC to Batman, this day. Speaking
of
Batman,
Mask of the Phantasm's getting a Blu-ray release.
You heard about that. So, we're gonna have to do that then, huh?
Probably. But yes, yeah, so Wildcats, you were kind of talking about, you remember seeing it, then it kind of fell off.
Right, right.
Did you like it when it was on?
Oh, man, I loved it. It was the only thing that would pull me away from X-Men for any Saturday morning.
What about you, Matt? Did you watch the show growing up?
I think I watched some of it. I remember the theme song. I just can't remember anything outside of that. I got
invincible powers.
I'm telling you, I really just remember Maul, man. Because at the time, I was a chubby kid who people thought was pretty smart. And for some reason, I just related.
No, see, it's nice to have heroes we can relate with. Sam, I remember watching the show and enjoying it. And then when there were so many of those shows in our childhoods that ran for one season. Absolutely. So you'd see it and it would disappear, but here was something else to watch. That as a kid, I really didn't think about it. Although, reading how the comic book stuff kind of went would have been interesting to see. But yeah, talking about people you could identify with, I hated playing Power Rangers. I always wanted to be the Red Ranger. My name is Jason. I'm born to be that. But I had glasses. He's wearing
red right now, too.
He literally is wearing a red shirt.
It's true. Right. But I had glasses, so everyone, of course, was like, you have to be Billy.
Yeah, man. I can see a little Billy there, though.
Just because I'm smart and would hang out with a robot if I had the chance doesn't mean I'm the Billy of the group. I don't want to drive a Triceratops.
To be fair, Billy lasted the longest in the series, if I recall correctly.
Nah. Tommy.
Tommy left and then came back, then left and came back.
He had the longest tenure.
I guess so.
Sad the way David Yost left that show.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how long he was on there considering the way he said he was being treated.
Yeah, apparently he was treated poorly backstage for being gay.
The 90s.
That's all you can say is it was the 90s.
Yeah.
Did y'all know that on that show, Zach was missing a finger, the actor who played Zach?
Yeah, he doesn't have he's missing one of his fingers.
And I think his right hand.
What?
Yeah, he's missing a finger. It's just a
small brain.
They never talk about it, and there's only certain scenes you can see it, but the actor is definitely missing a finger on his right hand.
If you look at pictures of the actor, he's missing that finger. Chris is like,
okay, when we're done, I'm about to pull out my phone and look this up.
This is absolutely Google-worthy material.
You don't pay attention to people's hands. That's why people never realized that Megan Fox had toe thumbs.
You know...
Though also, To be fair,
people are looking at other things when it comes to Megan Fox.
No, not that. I'm talking about the Black Ranger. When he's holding the Morpher with the two hands, like, you would think that you'd notice it at that point.
Right, exactly, though, because the entire intro of every fight scene is lots of hand gestures coming towards a camera. Right.
Well, we had fuzzy 480p or 480i televisions interlaced, and if you were getting Fox over the air like I was, it was a little fuzzy anyway. You had to put the little dial to get the chasing in just right.
And that antenna. Ooh, that magic antenna.
I was always jealous of my grandma's house because they had one where it was like motorized, so you could click, 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 and the big antenna on the roof that you'd hear go. Because they lived up in North Carolina, kind of in like a mountainous region. So if you wanted NBC, you had to point it west. If you wanted ABC, you had to point it, you know, south.
Wow.
I was never allowed to touch that control, just like I was never allowed to touch my uncle's Laserdisc player or a Super Nintendo. Yeah, Aunt Joy, like, I don't know how to work a Super Nintendo. I'm 10. That's all I know how to operate is a Super Nintendo.
Hey, holding on to any of
hashtag
that bitterness.
Still bitter. Yeah. You know how boring it was at my grandma's house? I couldn't do nothing.
Hey, man.
I could eat some stale graham crackers and watch Maury Povich and other junk she watched on TV during the day. I couldn't change the channel on the giant big screen TV.
My grandmother lived in Meriwether County, and let me tell you something. They didn't even have TVs. I'm serious as a heart attack. There was two red lights. She lived across from the cemetery, and that was my entertainment, convincing myself that the zombies would rise.
They had a horse pasture. My uncle had a horse, and I was playing one day, tossing a ball near the fence, and it went under the barbed wire, and I reached down to get it, and when I turned around after picking it up, the horse bit my shoulder.
Nice. Okay, you win.
Jerk horse.
Didn't jerk like horse. It. Hashtag jerk horse.
How they
hashtag
have a basketball goal better on the side of the garage, but no basketball? What am I going to do with a goal and no ball?
Hashtag 10. Triple bitter.
It comes in threes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to pause recording now. We are going to go watch an episode of Wildcats, and we're going to come back and tell you about the episode and whether or not it still holds up. I'm very interested to see, because since I watched it when it went off TV, the only thing I've seen is the first 7 seconds of the intro to make sure that the encode on YouTube was of good quality. It was. Yay. So, we'll be back. No one remembers any catchphrases from the show to go out to.
It must
exactly
not have been memorable.
You're supposed to do, Matt.
You didn't ask me to do research. You said you did the research. You actually were boasting about it. I actually did research this time, Matt. You should be proud of me. I got notes and everything.
Alex Jones smash! Megyn Kelly makes me angry!
Oh, man.
And we are back. We got done watching season 1, episode 1. What was the episode called? Dark Blade Falling. Yeah, that was interesting. Basically, this is your Meet the Characters episode. The team minus Warblade is all together and have been fighting the... What are the bad guys called?
Demonites.
Daemonites. Can't say demon. Daemonites.
That's right.
Can't say cherubim. Carabim. Come on, y'all. We know what you're saying. Yeah, so the Daemonites...
I missed that second part. I know what the word means, but yeah.
Yeah, the Daemonites are after this guy who has green hair, which... There was some other... Wasn't there another comic character who had green hair?
I feel like in at least every single comic, there is a green-haired character, yes.
Yes, so...
And anime.
Oh, yeah. Tons of anime.
Oh, no, the guy I'm thinking of, he was in the Hellfire Club, and he could make portals. What was his? Not important. Sorry. So he is being chased by these weird Agent Smith-style guys with steampunk goggles.
Very much Agent Smith.
Now, to be fair, this is before Matrix, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Several years
yes.
before Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying, they're being original at the time.
They were. So he's being, he's approached by these guys in his shop, and he's working on this circuit board, and they...
They really need to work on their approach, that's for sure. both the bad guys and the good guys need to work on their approach. The bad guys are like, hey, is this your name? Let me hold on to that motherboard you're working on. Rip, you're coming with us. No, I'm not. Jumps out the window. Good guys come by.
Yeah.
Hey, you're coming with us. No, I'm not.
Yeah, that recruitment pitch is not stellar.
No, it's not.
He runs down this fire escape and has some very Spider-Man-like acrobatic moves, ducks through another dude's apartment who wakes up and he's like, who is this guy? He doesn't freak out as much as you'd think you would if you saw a buff dude crash through your window.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have been like, maybe my friends ordered me a present. Are we sure that was his knee sticking out from under the cover?
Oh, wow. Wow. So many wrongs.
Hallelujah, it's raining men. Amen.
So many wrongs.
So he gets out the front door, and the Wildcats have been dispatched by, what's the guy's name, Jacob Marlowe?
Yeah.
He looks kind of like Cable, but he's a midget. He's a little person.
Yeah. He's J. Jonah Jameson, or half of him.
So J. Joan Jane?
Yeah.
And they're also dispatched by a female Silver Surfer lookalike named Void, who is actually a supermodel-shaped computer, because apparently that is the most efficient way to process your magical supercomputer, to compact your magical supercomputer.
Oh, man, I tell you what, thing is built for speed.
You know, with the bald head with the bald head.
Oh yeah.
In today, if they remade Wildcats, it would be Amber Rose.
No comment. No comment. Current events aside, no comment.
I'm apparently missing the joke.
Post show, I'll bring that one down.
So the Wildcats, yes, they are dispatched. They pull up and they open the door on their jet car thing, and what's her name? Zealot steps out, and the back of the door opens, and Maul and hops out with Voodoo
out the back door.
Yeah, he's too big to ride in the front.
No comment. Hey man, if. Never mind. Okay.
I mean, he could shrink. We know he can shrink.
Exactly.
He could ride in the front. He doesn't like to. It's a matter of personal preference. He sits in the back of the Wildcat van.
Okay. All right. Sure. We'll go with that.
So they start chasing him because he sees them and was like, nope. And he runs down an alley and he's approached by the Daemonites in disguise. And then we see Voodoo's power is she can see, she has like the glasses from They Live. She can see the Daemonites who...
I haven't seen it.
Whoa! You haven't seen They Live.
Right.
You haven't seen They Live.
No, I haven't, but I know what you're referencing.
We are going to do...
Wait. Rowdy Roddy Piper? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Hulk Hogan's in that?
Think so.
No, Hulk Hogan is not in.
It's Rowdy Roddy Piper and Miscellaneous Black Man.
Miscellaneous Black Man.
Yeah.
I know. Wait. It's
I keep wanting to say Lou Gossett Jr.
No.
But it's
I know what
Lou
his name
Gossett
is.
Jr.
I know what his name. Keith Richards.
Okay. Google.
Was it Keith Richards? It's It's on the tip of my tongue if it's not Keith Richards. It's give me a letter.
Keith David.
Keith David, right. That's who it was.
Yeah, that's what he said. No, that's not.
No, I was close.
Said. You said Keith Richards?
My bad. Yeah. Keith
that's
David.
The lead singer of the Rolling Stones.
My bad, okay. Keith David.
Keith David
See, the only reason why I know is because they made a reference to this in Saints Row. Three or four, probably four. Yeah, Saints Row 4, they made a reference to this because Keith is a character in the game and has plays himself. And Roddy Piper was in that game also.
You know the voice of Keith David very well.
Yes, Goliath.
Very good. Very good.
I just couldn't remember his name.
He was also in The Thing, and apparently he was also in The Princess and the Frog. But he is not in this show. Unfortunately, right. That would have been awesome because he is a fantastic voice talent.
Yes.
Where were we? Yes, they're in an alley. They find out it's Daemonites. And the guy's like, I'm still running from all of you guys. And he kicks down a door and runs through because we also find out he's a black belt.
Right. He says that in the beginning.
Yes.
Right.
I'm good at motherboard making, but I'm also a black belt. Hey-ya!
Yeah, that's absolutely something that I threw out there in the middle of a fight.
Yes. Maul goes, wait, we're the good guys. Dude, you're 12 feet tall. You're green and gray and purple. You look purple, yeah. And you look like a giant granite slab, and you're running around with a girl with giant hair and psychic powers. You kind of got to announce we're the good guys
first. Not to mention the chick with the sword and the dude with the guns and the mask.
Yeah, you kind of want to lead off with we're here to rescue you. Even Arnold knew that. Even the Terminator knew that. Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, listen, different strokes for different folks.
No, this is just this team that doesn't quite know how to act right.
From the X-Men book. Hey, bub, we're the good guys. We want to save you.
Maybe that's how they differentiated themselves from the
X-Men. Because
they were incompetent. Hey, we're not quite as efficient with our recruitment pitch here.
So he eventually runs up to the roof and he's cornered, and Spartan flies up. I mean, we find out later he can fly because he is a cyborg. He was a Cherubim warrior who was nearly destroyed by the Daemonites, and his brain was put into a cyborg body. Apparently, that also makes him a tactician, bar none, which we kind of see a glimpse of whenever he catches a falling pillar.
Right.
And sees, it calculates real quick.
But he's got the computer enhancements on his brain.
Yep. So he flies up there and he catches it and he blasts some Daemonites with his lasers and he jumps down and they end up taking him with them to their tower. Before that can happen, though, he's wearing a white undershirt, which magically grows a pocket as the Daemonite throws a bright red glowing disc into it.
Yeah.
Very conveniently. It's a very tight shirt, too. So you just happen to go whoop, right in.
Apparently, Daemonites would be wonderful horseshoes players because I can just kind of... or darts.
Yeah.
Nice. And then the pocket mysteriously disappears. Until...
Wait, what if the Daemonite's power is to put a pocket on someone?
We are master tailors. All we want is for people to have beautiful clothes.
Yes, that shirt needs a pocket. I mean, yes.
I mean, nowadays you have fake pockets in shirts. They're going to save us from that.
Yeah.
Actual functioning pockets.
Maybe they were the real heroes.
Yeah.
Interesting question.
Bunch of racists. Just like, oh, you see a bunch of lizard people, you're assuming they're the bad guys. No, they're the good guys trying to save us from a world without pockets.
Also, can't survive in our atmosphere and have to inhabit human bodies.
Yeah,
it's a timeshare.
I don't know. The giant crowd that comes to attack the Wildcats doesn't seem to really be in control of themselves. They just are like mindless slaves running toward the Wildcats waiting to be slaughtered.
Yeah, well, they had a cop in there and had a black guy in
and they kind of just start shooting at him and swinging swords with no, like... We right. find out later, Voodoo can say... If you are taken over by Daemonite, Voodoo can pull the little sticker that's the portal off of your
right.
head and zap you with this telekinesis, and the Daemonite has to get out.
But the thing is that you only notice those stickers on them. You don't notice them on the normal humans.
But
it's inside, maybe... The telekinesis has to happen in order to remove that Daemonite.
Right. The sticker is only there to give it a point of entry. It doesn't have to stay on to seal it in. Once it's in there, it's in your body. But she can pull it out.
Yeah.
Because she takes the sticker off and then pulls it out. So if the stickers are already off, all she has to do is grab them and do the little head zappy thing.
Yeah, she didn't care.
They are bad heroes. They just kill all these humans
who
happen to be infested by these aliens. They're possessed.
Well, let's think about it. They are cherubim or whatever they call
cherubim.
Them. Cherubim. They don't care about humans. Not really.
But every one of them, aside from Zealot and Spartan, are mixed human cherubim. They're the descendants of cherubim.
Yeah.
They flat out say
better
it like...
than humans. Just like how Magneto feels like we're better than humans. We're mutants. Don't need to give a crap about those humans.
But they don't. But they're fighting to save Earth.
What's a couple? What's five humans when there's a couple billion of them? Eh, whatever.
So they're back.
They're bad heroes.
They really kind of are, now that we're kind of dissecting this. So they go back to their tower, and they kind of tell him, they kind of tell the guy, like, this is what's going on, and he doesn't believe them. Rather than just going, okay, you're free to leave if you don't want to join our team, they zap him with a ray, which unlocks his powers.
Yeah.
And turns him into a metal-coated Cable Wolverine freak who also has Mr. Fantastic powers and can stretch out his arm blades.
Yeah, you one of us, sucker.
I don't want to be any of this science fiction mumbo-jumbo with my giant green ponytail. I'm going to leave.
Man, I just want to know what type of edge control he had, though. That hair didn't move the whole thing. That was crazy, right?
That's one of my Caribum powers, is perfect hair.
No, you find out later that his hair is also a weapon they can use as a spike. I don't know if that's true or not. It makes like sense.
He got tired of it being spiky. He wanted that curl, so he got that soul glue.
Yeah, you had to get that soul glue.
Call back.
Yep. So he runs off, and then they find the disc in his shredded clothes, and they start...
That traitor, he set us up, Mr. Complaining Guy with the mask.
Zealot wants to destroy it. Marlo will not let her. Marlo, whose company is the Halo Corporation, as if the Angels versus Demons symbolism could not get any more blatant. Yes, yeah. The Halo Corporation. He wants to figure out what it is. So this guy, the Warblade, as we'll now call him, he ends up in like this little trailer, and he ends up getting attacked and beaten up by some Daemonites. They attach a sticker to his head, a yellow sticker, which allows a Daemonite to control his body. And then they take him to a base in Antarctica. In seconds.
Yeah.
They have a teleporter.
Teleportation.
They don't expressly show them using the teleporter, but that's the only thing.
Using it later, though.
It's the only thing that makes sense, because they're literally in, I guess, like a New York analog, because no one reacts to the massive amounts of gunfire at the beginning of the episode.
Right.
And there's also what do you call it? The fire escapes on the outside of the building.
Right.
Very New York. So they're like, well, we got to go to Antarctica to the North Pole to get him. Void make a teleporter. So Void teleports him up there. And they go and they're
now,
like...
Now, also worth keeping in mind, he tells Void to do it. He doesn't ask. He's not polite. He says, do it. It's like, excuse you.
And Marlo's like, you can't go. Who's in charge of this outfit? Clearly not you, Shorty.
JJJ.
Yeah.
Get me Spider-Man. Yeah.
Gimli light.
So they're in Antarctica, and Maul knocks a hole in the wall, and they go inside, and it's like, and who is it? Grifter is like, this smells like a trap.
This is quiet, too quiet. Don't you know what a trap is like? Exactly, the villain says, and drops the hole open. They all fall.
Except Maul.
Yep.
No. Maul grabs Voodoo and throws her up.
Yeah.
Before the floor can close. Because
he's a good hero.
He's confident. He's good to Voodoo. You see him picking her up, carrying her, protecting her. They are a duo, and it is implied here they have a relationship.
That's right. A man must take care of his woman.
Yeah. The man with the size growing powers. But,
Excellent.
Anyway, speaking of him getting bigger, there's a problem, which is the first problem I thought about when they fell into the hole. Couldn't he get bigger and get out of that hole before the thing closed?
Well, now there
wasn't knocked out.
Very many tactical flaws in the show, but
yes.
Yes, they fall into this hole, and rather than growing to get out, they stand still while tentacles fly out of the wall and grab them.
And we all know tentacles and animation do not mix.
This is America, not Japan. It's okay.
It might have been animated in Japan, though. Speaking of which, I need to mention this before I forget. The lip sync on this show was horrible. I will get into that later.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It could have been worse.
I was paying attention to the lip sync. The guy who you didn't even really have to lip sync for couldn't lip sync correctly. You saw his thing still moving after he stopped saying words.
Okay, so they didn't do a great job with...
He had a niche on his lip.
You don't have you ever worn a bandana for that long that covers up your entire face? No, you have not.
Maybe he was chewing gum. He's such a rebel bad boy. He was chewing bubble gum under it.
He doesn't. Big red. Yeah, so they're grabbed by the tentacles, and Hellspawn basically, he tells them, like, he puts the little stickers on their forehead, and he's like, you're going to be taken over. And we go to commercial break. Then Voodoo meets up with Warblade, who tries to, she closes the door to this Daemonite she kicks, can't get in there, and Warblade punches her, but she dodges, and his hand is stuck in the door, and then she shows off her power, ripping off the sticker and sucking the Daemonite out of his head with her psychic abilities.
And I love that it's just away. A sticker, though. Like, hearing the word sticker in this scenario just makes it so much worse, because sticker is, like, the softest word that could possibly be used as a tool against you. So remove the sticker.
Yeah, that's basically what it
and
was.
And you are now powerless.
Well, it's like, kind of like there's those... I forget what it's called, but it's like there's like a Japanese spirit where if you affix the scroll to the forehead, then you can control them.
Also known as a Japanese sticker.
If you're offended, you can reach out to our lawyers, Dewey, Cheat Him, and Hal.
Oh, man. Trife.
So he reluctantly is like, well, I didn't want to be in this fight, but since I'm in it to win it. Let's go.
Yeah.
So they bust in before they can be it. And we actually see one of the Daemonites try to get into Spartan, and it kind of clangs off.
Right. Give him that good hit, but...
Yeah.
And Warblade slices all the tentacles, and they are free. And we actually... It's kind of strange because we see, like, Daemonite, like, smoking Daemonite rib cages... Which looks like maybe Grifter used his lasers and killed them, but Matt pointed out they can't survive in our atmosphere, so they must have died that way.
Right.
Which I hope that's the reason, because if there was like a cool fight scene where we end up with like destroyed carcasses, I wanted to see that.
Little do we know, we have the censored American version, and like it came out in Taiwan or something. It's like, oh, you just catch the dub.
Now, was it earlier or during this scene where you hear Maul go, let's get wild, which I think is actually the catchphrase that we
That happened after.
That was after?
Yeah, when they all were together, then they said it.
They charge down the hallway toward Hellspawn before he teleports Void in. Yeah, when they're charging down the hallway and he starts to go, he's like, let's get wild. Yeah.
Clobbering time? Oh, I'm sorry, different show.
Yeah, so as Hellspawn runs away and they run toward him, and he's like, aha, you fools, you took in the teleporter, and Grifter blames Warblade for betraying them, and he's like, well, I stole Void, and he sticks her head into his USB port. It's like, I'm going to steal all of her data from
you missed a part. It was that when they were chasing him and they got into the vehicle, stole the helicopter, and then...
Oh, that's right. They took off in that giant thing. In the giant helicopter. Right, and then they pilot a helicopter. And apparently Grifter was a smuggler of some sort, so he's their driver and he can fly a helicopter. Oh, and this is whenever Warblade discovers that Spartan, he's like, hey, it tried to get into you, why didn't that work? And they kind of explain Spartan's backstory. So they're using Zealot uses radar to find the behemoth ship, which is dead ahead of them in sight. Like, you don't need radar. Like, you flew right behind it. It is clearly in front of your face. But I guess they wanted to give her a little bit of techno babble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
she didn't have enough lines in this show.
They land, Spartan blasts a hole in the hull, and they make Maul shrink down, and they eventually confront Hellspawn.
Those little army guys, and they wipe the floor with them because they have about as good shooting as a stormtrooper. What's stupid is, like, he was, like, deflecting their shots and was deflecting it into their guns. And one of the guys, like, stuck out his gun to get it shot.
Yeah, Zealot, he was, like, basically the shots, like, kind of non-direct. He couldn't really control the direction when he bounced them off his forearms. He also took a couple blasts to the chest and didn't seem fazed. Zealot's sword, blasted it back. And then Hellspawn shoots these hand blasts to hold them at bay while he's sucking the data out of excuse me, out of void. He's like, I'm going to steal all of your cherubim technology, and in the process, your computer will be destroyed. Ha 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 ha.
I'm not sure why you explained that. Offer more motivation? I don't know.
I'm the villain, and you have to fill a minute of plot time, and I have to tell you what I'm doing, because kids won't understand why her head is tucked into this USB port.
Right.
Yes.
So he's shooting stuff at them, and again, Spartan takes blasts to the chest like no issue, erects a shield, and then tells Maul, go get him. So Maul just grows and grabs Hellspawn. Just no problem.
Right.
He's just holding him in one hand.
Ragdolling him, too.
When a 30-foot man tells you what to do, you do it.
He could have bitten his head off. He could have snapped him in half. He could have broken his arms. He could have squeezed until his ribs crushed into his internal organs, assuming that as a Daemonite, he has those because he kind of looks like a Satan-y type character with a flaming skull.
Mighty presumptuous. Go ahead.
But no, they get Void back.
By the new guy going in and just chopping up the computer, to which I said, this guy's the computer guy. Doesn't he know you're not supposed to disconnect USB without safely turning off the connection? He can corrupt data that way. Especially when it's being read.
Well, they were taking the data off of it and destroying the drive.
Was
he going to format Void afterwards?
No, Void was just going to be dead.
No, if he took the data off, it doesn't mean the drive is useless. It just means it's formatted. What could he...
I wonder what he could repurpose that for.
Well, anyway, back to more G-rated fare. They have Void make a portal, jump through. There's not really much of an explosion because Hellspawn is okay, and they go back, and they're kind of talking to, what's his name, Marlo, and they're like, hey, yeah so it looks hey, like
you,
we're...
Hey, you fought the big bad? Yes, we did, and we whooped them barely, so you killed them, right? You know, we forgot to do something. I knew it.
See what had happened was?
What happened was, this is our first episode, and if we take him out this soon, we ain't getting another episode.
Yeah, man, we got to fill 12 more episodes, boss.
We got to fill that up. We got to go for the first season and get the next season.
And with that, Warblade decides he is on the team. He and Grifter kind of... Grifter is a little poo-stirrer because he's trying to start stuff with Warblade. He's always talking about, like, you know, trying to protect Voodoo, or not Voodoo, trying to protect Zealot and how he needs to do stuff and she needs to stay back. And even though she's been in this battle longer than he has, she's literally like thousands of years old.
That was it.
He was that old too, though, I think.
No.
He said that he was fighting that long too.
No,
he's lying. Spartan and Zealot, you saw them at the beginning when they did the flashback, are there. Grifter is not that old. He's one of the people who they discovered and activated his powers, like Maul and Voodoo.
Yeah, Deadpool. I mean, Grifter is a relatively new character.
Yeah. So then they're like, okay, yeah, we're a team operating at full team strength. And then we get the outro song. That was the first episode of Wildcats. So, Matt, did it hold up?
It was stupid. It was really stupid. It wasn't good at all. I mean, I was entertained by the fact I was making fun of it. It was, like, so badly done. So many different holes and logic what was going on. It was like, these guys are like the C-string superheroes. They were incompetent. They were bad at their job. And the only reason why they were successful was because the villains were just as bad, if not worse. It was embarrassing.
I will preface my commentary by saying that Matt is absolutely correct. And then I will say that Maul was amazing, just as much as I remember as a youth. That purple and green combination, delicious.
Yeah, the costumes were nice.
Costumes were nice.
I mean,
all of them.
Going through my usual grade scale I usually try to do with these shows, it's like the animation was decent enough, the voice acting was decent enough, the music was pretty decent, the sound was decent. The show, quality-wise, was not a bad show. It was just that the script was bad.
Terrible. The script was terrible.
The script was no worse than any other 90s show. I'm going to go against you guys.
With the exception of...
Okay, Batman. But Batman...
And X-Men.
And X-Men.
X-Men scripts were not that good always. There were some really bad episodes of X-Men.
Episode one, though?
Episode one, you have to start
I'm going to say I feel like this show is better than you guys are saying. Okay, Billy. I think that, to me, I enjoyed this quite a bit. I liked the world they were building. The team, while a little bit incompetent, had interesting powers. It's a different set of superheroes than I'm used to seeing, and I think that's why I kind of liked it. And even though the character designs are kind of cookie cutter, there's a lot of world building that even happens in that first episode. So you have your, you know, Cyborg, and you know, you have the two people who have been around a long time, and the four kind of newer team members. Everybody's powers are kind of different. Nobody's like, there's no Superman. There's no Wolverine analog. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. It's a balanced team. And I feel like, 90s script writing aside, it was good. And I'm kind of bummed that there's only 13 episodes. Like, this actually, more so than I watched it as a kid, interested me.
Would you spend that $12 for 13 seasons of this? To own.
For 13 seasons? 13 episodes?
13 episodes.
It's all free on YouTube, so I will take the time.
This is the metric, though. The metric is, would you invest in this show?
I would pay $10 to get the season and watch it.
Ah, but I said 13.
$1 an episode. I would give them $1 an episode. It's wow. entertaining enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be like any finality.
This is true. But again, there's lots of shows that only got a season and were still entertaining. I love Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles. It ended after two seasons with no finality. It doesn't take away from the fact that that show was excellent. Does it suck not having the finality?
All right.
Yes. Does that make it not worth watching? No.
All right. All right. I challenge you then.
Okay.
I want you to watch three more episodes and do a mini-sode telling us how it was.
Ooh. If I have time between now and the next few weeks as I'm getting ready to move, I don't know if I will have time to watch three more episodes. But once I'm moved, I will gladly watch a couple more episodes.
Excuses. Oh, man. The allergies. Dust. Yeah, a little dust. Sorry.
Tell you what. I will give you until August to do it.
Okay.
Ooh, that's okay. fair.
Let me
fair.
Get the next 2 weeks. I got to pack up. I got to start taking stuff over to the new place, figure out what's going to go into storage and what's coming with us. Once we are moved in, I will find the, well, really it'll only be a little over an hour because episodes are 20 something minutes because there's no commercials, to watch three more episodes. I'll watch episode 5, episode 9, and episode 13.
Ooh. Watch them all be two-parters.
Like, I don't know what the other half was. Crap. Maybe I'll watch like 7, 12, and 13, because I'm sure there's some setup there to the end.
Yeah.
And I will do a mini-sode August. Before all right. August.
Okay.
And if you fail to do that before August, you're the one that's going to have to... Actually, no, you're going to be... joining me on the $100 tier.
No, I'm not joining you on the $100 tier.
That is your punishment if you cannot do this by August.
No, see, Chris is like, what? So we have the Patreon where people pay us. Right. So, you know, like, you know, the $35 tier is like, thanks, now we can afford beer to go along with hosting. Right. If there's a $100 tier reach, Matt's going to do a patrons-only episode where he watches an old hentai to see if it still holds up. Because he joked about doing that.
What?
If we can get $100 a month on Patreon, Matt. I'm watching an old school hentai.
Matt.
He wrote it.
You said it on the show. As
I didn't
joke.
Think you'd hold me to it.
I made it reality.
Oh my. Dude. Okay. All right. You know what? I will contribute. but this episode, this is worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, and if you want to contribute and subject Matt to that, you can go to patreon.com/hindsight. As little as $1 a month gets you access to outtakes and pre-show and stuff like that. $3 a month, you get access to the shows as soon as they are edited. I put them up there. That's from a couple of days to a week or so early.
Or
and
there's
sorry.
Look, I've been busy, man. I'm getting ready to move.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And sometimes the recording gets delayed for reasons.
Right.
All
right.
But yeah, so check it out if you don't mind. If you want a way to support the show and you don't really have the cash, give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find the show. It really helps. On Twitter, we are at HindsightIs3030. On Facebook, we are HindsightIs3030. Facebook.com/HindsightIs3030. Easy to find. Same thing everywhere. There's an Instagram, but I haven't been posting on that because my phone has been dead. But it'll be back tomorrow. Hooray!
He's feeling nostalgic for his phone, folks.
I am. Oh, yeah, let me do a mini-sode. Snake. Does it hold up? Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. It's a great way to kill time. It's one of two games on my flip phone.
He legitimately has a flip phone, people.
I do.
Legitimately.
The other game, F1 Race, is basically just like you're dodging. There's three lanes of traffic and you have to dodge. That one sucks. They set you up to lose every time. But Snake is a pure game of skill. And it is still great, but it requires a lot more attention than most phone games do. Most phone games, tap, 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 look away, talk to people, look back, tap, tap, tap. You have to have laser strong precision.
I remember on my flip phone, I had Tetris, but it was the demo. So it was like, I only can get so many. It was like, I think it was either I can only get so many lines before it shut off, or I can only play for so much amount of time.
Snake can be beaten.
Yeah.
There's a GIF of that popped up in my feed today. I feel like the algorithm was listening to me and surfaced this on Twitter. It eats the last dot and there's no place for a new dot to generate. So, and it was weirdly like in Russian or Cyrillic or something. So it was like this text of like, hey, you beat it. Somebody also beat threes.
Yeah, I heard about that today.
3 years and 3.33 years after its release, somebody beat threes.
Threes is a hard game.
Yeah. You ever play threes?
No, I haven't.
It's like a really cool puzzle game where
I will show you.
You have this grid of three. It starts as threes. And so you slide the whole grid and like numbers will combine. So threes will combine with threes.
Well, you start off at ones and twos.
Oh, ones and twos combine into threes. Threes combine into sixes. Sixes to 12s. 12s to 24s.
I have seen this game.
Okay, yes.
No, you probably saw the knockoff, which is the one that took all of the popularity because it's free.
This is possible.
And what do they call it, 2048 or something?
Something like that, yeah. And it's done a little differently.
1738?
But it's in such a way that you can easily exploit that and get high scores.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Snake still holds up. It's great. And it's fun. If you have it, you should play it on an old-school flip phone. It's actually like a good digital detox because I can't check Twitter. I can't check Facebook. I can't get work emails. This is not so bad. This is not so bad.
Jason, I will say, I think you've grown with respect to hope as a byproduct of this cell phone experiment because you're just so optimistic today. You liked Wildcats. You love Snake. Like, what don't you love today?
He hasn't been beaten down by the reality of the world.
I know. It's the emails. Facebook. I'm telling you, it's the emails.
Yeah.
If my boss emails me one more time, and you don't have to say that this week.
The Russians have snuck a mind control device into the email servers, and when you get that email, it populates negative thoughts in your brain so you learn to hate America. That's how they're doing it. That's how they're taking us over. They're using HARP to manipulate the weather today to make it rain and feel bad. And then the emails make you mad. The spirit of 1776 will rise again, Pierce.
America.
F yeah. All right. Yeah, with that tangent. Sorry, folks.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
We are done. We have drawn to a close. Yeah. With that, what's coming up next week?
I have no idea.
Oh, we continue doing cats. It's Cat Dog. Listener request is Cat Dog. And Josh, we saw your request your request on the Patreon, and we will be adding those to the list and doing those. We also have our third anniversary episode, which, since no one voted, is going to be the New Adventures of He-Man, because I don't want to see sweaty Dolph Lundgren this soon. We'll put it off for another year.
If you want to force Jason to see sweaty Dolph Lundgren, whatever his name was, I don't know, start voting right now.
What's the Dolph Lundgren film? Is it Punisher?
He-Man.
He-Man.
Our first episode was He-Man. So episode zero was He-Man. For our first anniversary, we watched a different episode of He-Man. For the second anniversary, we watched the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special, which we've been talking about doing for 2 years. And so every year, we do something related to He-Man. All that's left is the New Adventures of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie.
Right.
The only sweaty...
I also love.
The only sweaty Dolph Lundgren movie that's acceptable is the Rocky that he was in.
Mm. Right. He Must Break You.
If he dies, he dies. Oh, no, I want to watch Rocky. Those movies are so good. Yeah. Well, most of them.
I haven't seen
all of them. including Tommy Gunn. They're all good. Don't you blaspheme in here, Jason.
The robot.
Listen, they're all good. There is a redeeming quality in all Rocky films, including Living Creed.
In America.
Yeah, the redeeming quality is the credit scene when it wins.
We're no longer friends.
I never saw those movies. I said that beforehand.
None of them?
None of them.
What?
I just know references.
Matt, I'm...
At the very least, you have to go back and watch Rocky One. There is a reason that Stallone got nominated for awards for that movie. It is amazing.
A man who has still not learned to speak English has won awards for these films.
Nah. Go watch Rocky, man. It's streaming.
Where can I find it?
It's probably on the Amazon. It's been on Netflix. It's been streaming everywhere. It's worth taking some of that Google Play money you have. Spend the $3 to rent it from the Google Play Store. Rocky 1.
This is sound.
Is amazing.
This is sound.
And once you watch 1 and it connects with you, you'll go on to 2.
You have never felt the eye of the tiger upon you?
I've heard the song a lot.
No,
and
you
that's
have
not
to
even in the first one, because the first one's got to fly now.
Ooh, this is true. See, oh man, these songs that give you no real emotional connection right now are going to become the soundtrack of your life,
you
man.
Will understand why people put them on and run upstairs and box the air.
Listen to me. I played Eye of the Tiger at work 2 days ago. No joke.
Uh-huh.
And people got motivated. We got things done.
How have you lived to be 33 and never seen Rocky? You've seen references to it, but you never went out of your way to see the original?
I never really had a desire to.
Hey, this
Godfather.
Is
a... You seen Godfather?
No.
Sometimes you got to go back to the movies the references come from. And watch them.
You have to. Even if it's a film
You can skip Godfather.
Jason.
I will say you don't have to pay that much attention to Godfather 3 because it's not great. But you got to watch Godfather 1.
Right.
And then you got to watch Godfather 2 and be like, wow, Godfather 1 was a great movie. I can't wait to watch Godfather 2. And then you watch Godfather 2 and you go, this is even better than Godfather 1.
Right.
What could go wrong? And then you meet Sofia Coppola and you get very sad. But
Jason. I come to you.
No, you can't do the imitation because you haven't seen the movie.
No.
All right. With
that. I tell you that I've never seen the movie.
With that, we are done. Take the gun.
On the day of our podcast.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. All right. With that, we are done. As always, I'm Jason.
I'm Mason.
And this is Matt. This has been another episode where we found out all the movies I've never seen.
Yet another.
On hindsight. Is 30-30.
Good night, everybody.
The one and only hindsight.
What was that?
I just wanted to do something different in the end.
Let's get wild!
Yeah, let's get wild.